Listen in to the Community Connection Show with Alan Collier every Wednesday from midday to 2pm, where local community groups let you know what's happening right here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. cbf.com.au.
And welcome back to Community Connections. And being the fourth Wednesday of the month, we have with a local MP, Cindy McLeish. Happy New Year, Cindy. We haven't heard from you this year because we weren't here during January.
Oh, that's a bit disturbing, isn't it? Happy New Year on the 23rd of February. Yes, Happy New Year to you too.
You almost feel as though you're halfway through the year and we're only just starting.
Well, yeah.
Cindy, I know you've got quite a few topics and I know that you are at Parliament, so we don't have a lot of time. But one of the things that I just quickly wanted to mention, I made a trip up yesterday to Yay, Mansfield and Alexander just because I could, and I spent a few dollars. Now, that's what I did. It's not going to solve anything. But I guess you wouldn't mind getting people up into some of those areas and spend a few dollars. I mean, they've really done it tough for the last couple of years, haven't they?
Look, absolutely, because not only did we have COVID, but we had bushfires. And the summer before COVID, a lot of those areas were evacuated because of the fires. And you know, they weren't even near some of the areas, you know, like all of Mansfield got evacuated. And I couldn't believe how many people were in Yay that day with bikes and boats and four-wheel drives and dogs and, God, you know, every sort of camper and tourist was coming out. And so they weren't, the fires were, there was one near Buller, but they evacuated the whole area. So they really missed out of their January trade. And then they were hoping for Easter, but COVID hit. So that didn't happen. So yeah, they have been really hardly hit.
Yeah. And the other thing too, Cindy, if we've got parents and grandparents listening, I know a lot of the young people now take their gap year either before they go to uni or after uni, before they look for a job. They could do a lot worse and head up into that area because there are jobs everywhere, aren't there, in every coffee shop, every restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely. There are jobs everywhere and there are jobs in the valley as well. And I think a lot of kids ended up not taking gap years because, you know, they wanted to travel more freely around Australia or overseas and that became, you know, well, it's a bit problematic, so yep. They're not kind of sure what to do. But, you know, there are so many jobs and it won't be long. The snowfields will be open again, you know, in June, but we have a few more months there and that's always a good place to head. One of the challenges these days, though, Alan, is actually getting somewhere to stay.
Is
because,
it?
Yep. You know, there's with Airbnb, you know, everyone seems to rent their houses out and so there's less in the rental market. So it's quite difficult for and that's one of the key issues that you'd see in many places is that, well, yes, we haven't got workers, but if we get them, you know, it's difficult for them to stay. But, you know, midweek also, if you want to get out and about, midweek is a great time to go. It's a little bit less quiet, a little bit more quiet, sorry, and that's when the businesses, even in the valley, you know, at Warburton and Healesville, places that draw tourists, it's harder midweek. You know, you tend to get the people with a different colour hair.
The grey nomads. I'll say it.
They tend to go when it's a little bit quieter, you know, and avoid the crazy of the week. But
and you can have a terrific you can have a terrific trip through some of those areas, Warburton and any of those areas up there.
And the other thing that's happened too at the minute though is because of the staff shortages, because there's jobs everywhere.
Yep.
Cafes, some of them are only open for takeaway, some of them are only open for dinner or only lunch, not dinner. You know, they're kind of trying to work out what have we got the staff to be able to do. So there are oodles of jobs out there and, you know, kids on a gap year or kids who are at school looking to supplement their income, you know, you could actually probably do some work in Yarra Glen or Woori Alec.
Yeah, true. Cindy, you want to talk about some bridges. Let's hear about some bridges.
What a sexy topic. But, you know, they're so important. And we've had, gosh, for years now, I think about 5 years, the bridge at Reefton Hotel, McMahon's Creek, was taken down. So they spent a whole lot of money propping it up and then they propped it up for a few months and then they pulled it down. So, like, why they spent all that money doing that was beyond me anyway.
Yep.
And so it actually, the hotels where, you know, the school bus pulls in, parents will drop their kids. And kids would come from both sides, you know, the other side of the river. They'd have to cross. And so without that bridge, they actually had to go on the road. And it's 80 kilometres an hour.
Yeah.
And there's been all sorts of roadworks up at the Upper Yarra Dam. Well, not roadworks, dam works. They've been, you know, actually making it more secure and reinforcing it again. And they've done some pretty good work up there, but they've had loads and loads of truck movements, big trucks. And so you've got these kids and pedestrians having to go on the road and mixing with this, and it's just been incredible. And the community have had a great fight. They've just not given up, and, you know, I've supported the child, has supported them, the council, been right behind them, and finally the government said, we're going to now fix this bridge. And it's just like, at long last, I'm not sure when it's going to happen, but, you know, it shouldn't have taken 5 years, but the continued action of the community group and the community up at Reefton and McMahon's Creek did make it happen, you know, and it's, I'm really pleased. They've done really well.
Just shows you what a community group can do if enough of them get there and continue to act, to be active too, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. You know, they didn't give up, and it was really, really dangerous. And so now that, you know, we've almost ticked that one off, I'm not going to tick that off until it's actually... Right. Until it's actually finished. And, you know, it's funny because a friend of mine makes railway bridges, and he's got all these old railway bridges that are decommissioned, but they've been taking, you know, huge trains and stuff like that. And he said, gosh, you know, you just got to get it from his place. They can have it for nothing and plonk it across. Like, there were options that were cheap.
But they don't do that, do they?
No, they don't do that. Got to do the Taj Mahal every time. And, but now we've had that one, so we're keen to get the footbridge, well, it's not a footbridge, at East Warburton. The kids were to cross the river. They have to walk on the road as well. And, you know, we're pretty keen to get that there done as well. So for Councillor Jim Child and the school and I, this is our next mission to try and see if we can get dedicated pedestrian and cycle access across at East Warburton. And these are little communities, but, and this is the stuff that makes a difference.
Absolutely, to that little community, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they've done millions and millions of dollar works at the dam, which is good. But, you know, people for the community don't always benefit from that so much. The wider area might. But, you know, when you've got a bridge that connects one side of the community to the other or can do it safely, that really makes a difference.
Well, and kids, unfortunately, can be kids too, can't they? And one silly mistake and it's all over. And if you're mixing with traffic all the time, isn't it?
Yes. And look, police attendance is actually then required to stop the traffic for their school if they've got their bike ed program or something like that. So if they can't do that, then the parents do it. And, you know, you don't always kind of want the parents up there, you know, stop, go type thing. That puts them in a dangerous situation as well. So, you know, we're pushing on this one now.
Sounds good. Well, you're always working on something.
Have a project up your sleeve.
What else would you like to talk about, Cindy?
One of the things that I think, you know, at this time of year in summer, we think of fires and, you know, we might not be thinking of bushfires because we've had a couple of wet seasons, but grass fires can and do take off.
Yes, and they can cause a lot of damage too and a lot of stock loss too, can't they?
Yeah. And, you know, we had at our property 3 weeks ago, maybe it was now, we had a grass fire. And it was quite steep terrain and we had 11 vehicles, 3 choppers turned up from the wider area. And this is, you know, near Glenburn. And we'd had three fires in the middle of the day. Now, the storms were overnight and the bulk of the lightning was between 5:30 and 7:30 and, you know, I heard every strike.
I'll bet too. Yeah.
You know, like it was just this full-on lightning storm for a couple of hours. But the first fire in the area, which was at our place, came at about 12:30 and we'd had 40 mils of rain, no more than that, 60 mils of rain where the fire was. But by midday, it had dried out. The grass had dried out, even though you'd had such a lot of rain. Yep. The grass dried out and the conditions were right that, you know, spark takes off and Bob's your uncle and then all of a sudden you've got 25 acres that have been burnt. But the CFA, you know, like an amazing job because it was, as I said, it was steep. They got to get gear up there. It was bad enough driving over it in a vehicle afterwards, you know, and cut out the brakes. And they stopped it from getting into the heavily wooded area just, you know, on our property and the next door property.
That's terrific,
well.
Isn't it? Yeah. And Cindy, you still see some of these idiots driving along throwing cigarette butts out the window too, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're really mindful even just driving a vehicle over the paddocks on, you know, really hot north wind days in case there just happens to be a spark from a vehicle.
So I have with me Cindy McLeish, our local MP, and at the moment she's in Parliament, so we'll probably lose her soon. But there's a couple of things that we'd like to talk about. One, some history projects that you'd like to talk about, please, Cindy.
Oh, look, I went to Tullahi on the weekend and they had a two-day, like a history, back to Tullahi type event where they showcased all the history of Tullahi and they had, you know, a display from Tunurung. Tullahi is kind of on the borderline of Tunurung and Wurundjeri, but they had that through all of the forestry work and... you know, the tennis club and the cricket club. And these guys were actually, you know, premiers. I can believe it. And then... they had all this premiership stuff. And I think it was a tennis association in the east said, oh, Tullahi's too far, you know. They gave him the flick. So it kind of saw the demise of the Tullahi tennis club. Even though they said they were the ones who travelled. Everyone only had to go to Tullahi once. But they had to go somewhere every week. But there was a lot of people and there were lots of old photos and... One of the things that really reminded me of, people have old photos on display and there's a lot of people who, you know, put effort into this, but they don't always know who everybody is. And it's hard to, you know, sometimes that they might think it's here and this is who the people are. And I remember being at Healesville one time and they had, it might have been when they were doing their Healesville 150 years, and they had a big display, and I was with someone, and she said, and they had this thing saying, "Oh, we think this is at the Chum Creek store, and we think this is." And this woman comes up, and she goes, "Oh, that's not at the Chum Creek store. That's such and such, and this is this person, this person." She goes, "I knew all of those people," and I said, "Well, you have to tell the organisers because what happens if they think it's at the old Chum Creek store, and no one tells them otherwise? Eventually, that becomes fact."
And the old lady passes on or something and then there's nobody to tell them either,
is it? So she, you know, and she goes, oh, that's such and such. I know those people. And it was really quite funny. And I said, you have to tell someone. She goes, oh, do I? And I said, yeah, well, you do because it's really important. And often, you know, they'll have photos in papers of different things with name all of these people. They have two question marks. And it's like somebody must know who this person is. And, you know, I just want to encourage people that if you do know, say something. Let people know because that's the way we get an accurate, you know, recording of the history.
Yeah,
and taking
true.
Photos, you know. Everyone goes, oh, I don't want a photo where you're all standing there for the footy photo type thing. Oh, I don't want to do that. But it's recording a moment in time and in 30 years' time, everyone will go, God, look what they were wearing. And, oh, that's a father and son. Or we know that daughter and we know that. But, you know, and it is important. It's like with your radio station. You have to record all of that stuff.
Yeah, and if you don't, then it just it disappears, doesn't it? Because the people who did know pass on and or do something else, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, even having photos of the presidents or the captains or something like that on the walls over, you know, years, it just gives you that little bit of a documented history. And there's grants that are always available to do this sort of stuff. There's, you know, they're under 5,000 local history grants. The government typically do them every year, and they're quite good because any organisation can use it to document local history in different ways. You can do books, you can get things transcribed. I've seen somebody had interviews with a whole lot of people and audio tapes. They've had them transcribed and cover that cost. Getting pictures framed or creating new history boards and all these. There's lots of ways you can record history. And I was reminded of it again when I was at Tullahi on the weekend.
Yeah, that's terrific because otherwise this stuff just disappears over a period of time.
Yeah, and, you know, someone still had the old blazer of the cricket club, I think it was, you know, and the cap, and I'm like, wow, who would have thought at Tullahi they had this, you know, they got a really neat little cricket ground there. But and look, just finally before, a couple of things before I head off, I just want to mention the Healesville Sanctuary. And Kevin Mason, who was a long-time staff member and volunteer there for years and years and years, he got a gong on Australia Day, and I just wanted
terrific.
To congratulate Kevin and say, look, if you haven't been to the sanctuary, there's always something new. And I had with me a couple of weeks ago, we had an international visitor who popped out for a week or so, and I was able to take the former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Theresa May. I hosted her down at the Healesville Sanctuary, and she hadn't been to Australia and was pretty excited by kangaroos and koalas.
Yeah, well, that's terrific though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, there was only, you know, somebody taking photos, one person, you know, and she was very keen to get the photos of her and the kangaroos and the koalas.
That's
and I'm like, I look out the window every day and there's kangaroos filing through the paddock.
You know. Yeah, but they don't, do they?
No, they don't. And, you know, then we ducked into Levantine Hill for a morning tea, and they were fabulous with their with what they put on, and hosting us was terrific. So, you know, Healesville Sanctuary, it is iconic for international visitors, easy to take for granted, but they have lots of great displays, and they've made it in a way that it's easier to get closer to the animals.
Yes.
So with the koalas, you know, the platform where you view is raised, so you can sort of see them in the trees, so you're not looking up sort of at them, you know, you're on the same level. Little things like that.
Yep.
Really good.
And look, these sorts of things, people from overseas come to see them, but it's so easy to forget them when they're in your backyard too, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Look, great birds of prey. You know, they've got a thing to upgrade the work at the hospital, but also the platypus, you know, like. And, you know, the echidnas and all this sort of stuff, some of this really iconic stuff. And when we were walking in, she said to me, gosh, isn't this different from a zoo that we kind of see in the UK? And I go to the Healesville Sanctuary all the time, and I'm like, look at her and think, yeah, I guess it is.
So that, pardon me, they don't have those sorts of places overseas. They're more just sort of like, just or not so much in cages, but that sort of stuff rather than in the wild.
Much less being closer, and it's really, you know, it feels so Australian. But if you go out to Werribee Park, to the you know, the Western Safari type one there, and where they've got, you know, large open space, and they've got the animals roaming and stuff like that, and that's equally as good. And Glenn, who used to be at the sanctuary in Healesville, has gone to Werribee Park, and one of the local artists, Sue Dolman, who does amazing mosaics and paintings and stuff. Sue's at Warburton. She's done these enormous sculpture, you know, concrete sculptures with all these mosaics of animals and stuff out the front of at Werribee Zoo there. It's just fabulous. It's really great.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So there's a local connection for you.
You've got to go. Thank you very much.
I've got to go. We've got question time shortly. I've got a meeting before question time, so I've got to get moving.
No worries. See you, Cindy, and we'll look forward to seeing you next month.
No worries. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Cindy. Bye. Bye.